Guys, it's called laying down your life, no matter what that means and what avenue and what a faucet of grace it is. It's amazing. We're a family and you all have something to give and offer. We're not just needy. We're not just proteges. We're not just sitting here to get fed. We're not just members of this church. We're the family of God and everybody has value and we all have purpose. So it's just fitting to acknowledge these things because if we're not careful, we're just needy. We come to be noticed. We need prayer and we need. And I promise you, we have something to give. We can come here and we can love. In fact, the Bible says that the reason we assemble ourselves together is not because it's Sunday and we need to belong to a church. It's because we stir ourselves up in love and good works. Now, we sang the whole gospel this morning. Every song we sang, it was about being more like Him, about His heart being my heart. We sang the whole gospel this morning. And I'll tell you, we run a risk. We have to be very careful that we don't teach ourselves tradition and religion, but we come in the morning with a purpose and a cause, because you are the steward of your heart. You're the one that decides who you are and what you do with what's going on. No one can control you. No one can even judge you. You're the steward of your heart. The Bible says, guard your heart because out of your heart flows the issues of life. And man, when you come here, you can be so prepared to just corporately worship Him. When we sing these things, man, we're giving our heart to Him and we really want to be more like you. Because the truth is this, God said nobody ever lit a lamp and then put a bushel over that thing. And I tell you, you can get caught up. I said it all weekend. You can let life speak louder than truth. You can forget why we're Christians, why He lives inside of us. And all of a sudden, it's just all about me and what He can do for me instead of how He can make me more like Him. Because what the world needs isn't our church attendance. The world needs His love and His light and His nature through His people. He called us the body of Christ. That's His term. That's not our name. We didn't make that up. I found that in His word. And the body of Christ literally means the embodiment of who He is, His anointing and His power. So you're the roster of heaven. You're the best He's got. He's not looking anywhere else right here. He's got you. And you're on the team. And you're more than enough to Him. You could think, oh man, you're suited up and you're ready. Take the ball and run. I'm telling you. Because the Spirit of God is in us, okay? So I'm just going to talk to us a little this morning. I'm excited. I'm sorry about that if I'm a little more excited than you. I'm just excited. It was your fault, man. You traded sorrows, so I ain't got none. We traded them off. So I believe what we sang, amen? Come on, man. I believe it. You can take life personal and forget to take the gospel personal. And then you can try to incorporate the gospel into what you're taking personal. And all of a sudden, all you've done is incorporate God into your life instead of Him becoming your life. The whole gospel is about becoming one with Him. It's man becoming one with deity. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. The word glory very simply means any manifest attribute of God. You don't have to do a 3-day conference on glory, even though you could. But it's very simply defined any manifest attribute of God. So the Christ in me is the hope of making God seen. Isn't that awesome? Now listen, He's not in me to make me feel fuzzy. He's not in me to help me to just feel peace at night. He's in me so my light can so shine so the world can see the Father. Come on, the problem has never been darkness, and it's not darkness and it never will be. Light is greater than darkness. He says, church, arise, shine, your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people. But the light is upon you. He's letting you know. See, nobody ever walked into a bright room and said, would somebody turn up the darkness? If the room gets dimmer, it's because somebody turned down the light. Let your light so shine before men that they see your life lived, your good works, and glorify the Father. I'm telling you, your life on the workplace matters so much. Your life in the mall matters so much. You're so important to the world you live in. You're so important to God and the kingdom of God. That is not a pressure statement. That is a privilege statement, because life is a gift. And this great and wonderful Holy Spirit wants to come and live inside of us and make the Christ life possible. He wants to come inside of us and refashion our nature, our heart, our motives, the thing that drives us. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians 5 with me. It's coming on my heart. It's bombarding me. We better go there. There's a lot of scripture we can preach. There's a lot of things we could do on a Sunday morning, guys. I don't have a whole lot of time. I have maybe an hour. I don't know. There's a lot of things I could do as a preacher. I've preached for 16 years, and I've been a pastor for that long, and I've been saved for 18. There's a lot of things I could preach that would pass the grade. But the truth is, what is God saying to this group of people today? How does God want to fashion us and form us and empower us to live a more effective day? We're not here to do our Christian duty. We're not here to do church service. Guys, you're the church. We're here to sharpen and look more like Him than when we leave. I promise you, that's why we're alive. I know I turned you to 2 Corinthians. We'll get there in a minute. Ephesians 5 says, be imitators of God and walk in love. Just as Jesus loved and gave Himself up a sweet fragrant offering and aroma unto God. Selflessness is a big deal. We look at Jesus Christ, innocent, pure, and holy, willing to become what we were on the cross so we can become what He is, a son. What an amazing gospel. God didn't curse His Son on the cross. He cursed sin on the cross. He cursed sin in the flesh, and sin shall have no dominion over us. What was killing us has been conquered on the cross. Now we can live in Him. We think He cursed His Son. He cursed sin on the cross. He was made to be sin so we could become righteous in the sight of God. He took on the appearance of fallen humanity. When He died, we died. You're going to see that right now. It's amazing. The gospel is amazing. Until that point, I had done nothing right. But yet, while I was yet a sinner, God demonstrated His great love and sent His Son. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That is a big deal. This is not an Easter story. It's not a Christmas story. It's not sentiment. It's not a suffering Savior. It's sin being destroyed so you can come out from its yoke of bondage. Reckon yourself, Romans 6, dead unto sin, but alive unto God. He set us free, guys. He didn't just cover us. He washed us clean and filled us with the Spirit of God. He took out death and put in life. He took out darkness and turned on the light. Come on, it's the gospel. And if we're not careful, we'll just turn it into an Easter story or a Christmas story, a baby in a manger or a suffering Savior. He doesn't want you to cry at a suffering Savior. He wants you to rejoice that sin was destroyed and the power of it. It can never again hold you back from being a child of the living God. And when you really get that, it puts diligence and integrity and honor in you. And all of a sudden, you don't even have a place for sin. You're not drifting off in the dark and living in secret. You are living in the light and your face is unveiled and you are truly a child of the living God. And if you would stumble into a moment of weakness, you run to Him and jump on Him. You don't hide and cover with fig leaves. And you say, thank You for the light in my life and the way You're changing me and growing me, because that is not who I am. And all of a sudden you learn what it means to be sanctified and separated unto God. And all of a sudden you learn what it means to be holy in His sight. Why? Because He made you holy. Oh, Jesus is amazing. And He's got my motor running and I'm not sorry for it. I've been this way for 18 years and I'm getting worse. And I'll tell you why. Because I know Him a little more today than I knew Him a little before. I knew Him a little more today than I knew Him yesterday. He's revealing Himself to me, and it makes my heart live. I don't preach a doctrine. I live a life in Christ. I don't carry a philosophy. I carry a transformed life. I am one with Him, and He's one with me, and He's alive, and we have relationship. I don't have theology. I'm in love. That's what's wrong with me. Look at me. Look at me. I'll tell you what's wrong. I'm trying to play it cool with you guys and it didn't work. I didn't last long. Because I mentioned Jesus and righteousness and the cross, and something comes alive in me. Look at me and let me tell you what's wrong with me. I'm in love. No one loves God first except that you see His first love. If you don't receive His love, you'll just get trapped trying to serve Him. And you will run dry. You will wear out and you will wonder if you're serving good enough. And you'll be works driven and you'll slowly get condemned in your heart and backslide. You're not a concubine. You're the bride. A concubine serves and ministers to the king, and every once in a while brushes against his glory, gets called into his chamber. You're not called to live, to have a now and then experience with God. You are not a concubine. You're a queen. You don't just serve the Lord and then rub against him every once. Ooh, I felt the goosebumps. He's out there. No, he's in you. Yeah. Are you guys okay? Am I scaring you or freaking you out? Okay, good. I didn't think so. Or I wouldn't be this way. I can't help this. I'm in love. I'm in love. And if you're not careful, you'll let life speak louder than truth. And you'll let all the things that are falling away, perishing, and that don't matter, matter. And you'll miss the truth. And all of a sudden, you'll stand before him one day and look into his fiery eyes of love and realize you believed all the wrong things. You let what people said matter, what people didn't say matter, what happened matter, and what didn't happen matter, instead of what he did on that cross, because that's where you live your life from. Everything flows from there. If you don't start where he finished, you will never run well. If you let how you're feeling, how you're doing, and how people are treating you, and how your life is going, determine who you are, we are all in trouble, because no one's ducks are in a row. If you feel sorry for yourself, you are already finished. Come on, I'm speaking bold to you today. Because I have the same privilege to do those things as you do. I live the same life. Don't think it's strange when these things happen, because the things that are happening to you happen to your brothers all over the world. I'm telling you, if you feel sorry for yourself, I'm talking to a few people right now. You say, you don't know what happened to me. No, I don't, but it was probably terrible, and I'm sorry that people don't regard one another's value, and I'm sorry that people touch people wrong, and I'm sorry that people misuse and cause injustice. I am sorry, but if we're going to let those people determine who we are, then we ought to sing to them that they're Lord, because that's what's fashioning us. Come on, I'm talking bold to you this morning. And I'm unashamed of this gospel. I have to stop letting what I'm going through define me. I have to let what he went through define me. Because that's the truth about me. And I can't get trapped saying, well, if God loved me, then why? If God didn't love you, why did he send his son? Maybe we ask the wrong questions. Maybe our questions are self-serving. Maybe our questions are coming out of pain and confusion. And all of a sudden we're challenging something that's already settled. Christ came. Do you get it? And I can't say, well, if God loved me, why did he let... Well, why did my mother? Well, why did my dad? Well, why did my uncle? How come? It's because of the snare of sin and the strategy of sin, and we're in a war, and don't you get confused. We are in a war, and there is strategy set against you to harden your heart, confuse your heart, and deceive your heart, so that when the light of his glory shines, you can't see it, because all you see is what you've been through, and you miss the glory of the cross, and it's still just all about you. The only reason we're alive is let us make man in our image. We are made for the image of God. And the only reason your feet are on the planet is to look like your father. It's the only reason you're alive. I don't know if anyone ever told you that. But I'm telling you, the word of God teaches that the only reason you're alive is to love and let your light shine. It's the only reason you're alive. You're not alive to find the right spouse, to get a better job, to have an amazing retirement, to have four wonderful kids. You are alive to look like him. And all those things don't even matter unless you're doing them looking like him. That's not too strong. I have grace to say that. You can hear what I'm saying this morning. And if you don't hear what I'm saying, you're just going to shut down and you're going to let life be the same. And tomorrow will be yesterday. And we can still go to church. We are on the earth to love. Oh my goodness. He says, beloved, let us love one another. Because everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not just doesn't know God. He didn't say doesn't go to church. Guys, you preached the gospel this morning in an amazing way. Every song, everything I heard these men say, it's the gospel. It's here. Let's make sure we don't just amen it and we let it become who we are. You have amazing leaders. You have men that have a revelation. You have understanding in this house. Every song you sang is the gospel. It's exciting. We have to make sure we don't let religion creep in and lost asleep and we just sit through a service. Good service, brother. Nice preaching. Wow, that was good. No, it's all designed to transform us so we leave here looking more like Him. So animosity, jealousy, pride, discouragement, frustration, and anger are destroyed forever from our lives, and we can shine in the midst of a crooked and twisted world. And what makes us different is we look like Him, not that we go to church. We look like Him. We think like Him. Our motivation is from Him. 1 Timothy 1:5 says, the goal of our... We're going to 2 Corinthians, I didn't forget. The goal of our instruction... See, that could only be the Holy Ghost. Yeah, good, good. You got Him broke in, you prepared Him for me, brother. I knew I liked you. 1 Timothy 1:5, the goal of all our instruction, the goal of the commandment is love. Guys, if it's not about becoming love, we've missed why He rose from the dead. If we make it a passport to heaven, we have sadly missed the gospel. If we make the resurrection of Christ a passport to heaven, we have sorely missed the gospel. If all the gospel is about is Him pardoning your sins so you can have a passport to heaven, we've been deceived. It's so that you could put off the old, put off the lie, put off being born into Adam and be born again, put on the new and put on Christ. Come on, it is not, I'm not being condemning, bear with me this morning, it's just on me this way. It is not cool to come to church and fight in your home. It is not cool to argue with your spouse and get your rights and not talk for 3 hours and yet come to church and sing Holy is the Lord. It's not cool! And it's not normal, and heaven doesn't know what you're doing. The fall of man taught us that. And it proves that we think for ourselves, because where does strife and arguments come from among you? Because every man's seeking his own thing in his own way. Look, I've learned it takes two to tango. It takes one to make peace. It takes two to tango. You aren't going to get me into your fight. I will frustrate you trying to frustrate me. I will. I will love you into the kingdom. Or you will flat out, openly, unveiled face, boldly, blatantly refuse Him. Because I promise you, when I kneel at my bed and cry at night, it's not because I'm broken because of you. It's because I'm breaking for you. Because I understand if you knew who you were, you wouldn't live the way you're living. If you knew who you were, you wouldn't say what you're saying. Why would I be hurt by you now when I know who I am? You don't owe me anything. You're not my sustaining power. You're not my identity. Why would I get so taken back by your attitude? You're not the one that makes my motor run. You're the one I love. I don't need you. I love you. Oh. So why was it so easy to cry because of men instead of cry for men? Because I was thinking for me before. Now I'm thinking for you. And if you're living unjust, my heart should break for you. Where sin abounded, grace abounded more. In due time, God sent His Son. Why? Because He looked at humanity and said, they need help. He didn't say, I can't believe them bunch of knuckleheads. Come on. Come on, could you imagine Jesus carrying the cross up Golgotha? He's beat beyond description, guys. The Bible in Isaiah 52 says He was marred more than any of the sons of men. That means when they were done beating Jesus, you couldn't even tell who He was, if you could even tell He was a man. Marred more than any of the sons of man. The worst whooping that man had ever put on man, Jesus looked worse. That's what the Bible says. That means He was undescribable, unrecognizable. That's why the Pharisees, when He was quoting scripture, pastor, off the cross, they were like, even now He quotes the scripture. Why? Because He should have been dead. He shouldn't have been able to talk and function and think. Because He was beat beyond description. He was marred and mangled. And they're looking at Him astounded and said, even now He preached the scripture. Why did He have to get beat so bad? Why was it seemingly so barbaric and so sadistic? Why couldn't He just give Him the 39 lashes and stick Him on the tree? I'll tell you why. There's a parallel to everything that He did. The reason He was separated from the Father so you could forever be joined. The reason He died is so you could forever live. Here's why He was beat beyond description. Because when sin got done with man in the garden, He didn't look anything like He was created to be. He lost His created value and appearance. So Jesus had to become and become like us and lose His appearance so we could have the right to get our identity back and look like sons and daughters again. This thing was paid for. This thing is intense. It's more than just a happy song. We're children of God. It is a truth that was paid for, that God seemed worth. He thought you were worth this price, worth this punishment. He knows your value, your life, and he said, it's worth my son dying so you can come alive. Don't you get feeling sorry for yourself and think you're a mistake and life's an accident. Don't you get woe is me. Christ died for you and proved to you that you have amazing destiny and amazing value if you begin to live by faith and cut off those feelings that aren't productive. Come on, you don't live by, yeah, but I feel. That's the problem. We feel. But what do we believe? Well, I don't feel like God loves me. He has to love you. He sent his son. You don't need to feel it. Believe it. And God can give you a stewardship of feeling and revelation. I feel all kinds of things. You can tell that. I get alone in a room and go, Jesus, and he's all over me. It's amazing. Do you know why? Because I believe him way before I feel him. Brother, I need to feel the love of God. No, you need to believe the love of God. Because if I pray for you and teach you that you need to feel the love of God, you'll just continue to live sensual and you're only as good as you're feeling instead of good as you're believing, and he is. You follow me? We've been trapped in a sensual world and we're called to live by the Spirit. We spend countless hours catering and ministering to one another's feelings, memories, impressions, flashbacks, instead of the truth that makes us free. And what we run the risk of when we do that is keeping people in a sensual world. And 2 weeks later, they're not feeling good, so they need more prayer. It's not even a prayer issue. It's a truth issue. It's truth that makes you free, not ministry. If you're ministering without a strong application of truth, then we're empowering people to continue to live by their feelings. It's a strong word. It's in my heart. Not against ministry. I'm a real friend of truth. Ministry is important. There's a place for it. But it better be backed with a strong voice of truth. Most of the time we don't even need prayer. We just need to see different. If God can change the way I see, he can change the way I live. Because the eye is the lamp of the body. And if the eye is single, if it's healthy, the whole body's flooded. Light. Doesn't say unless, of course, you're faced with many challenges and issues. It says, if I see clear, I will live clear. Whew. So in the face of injustice, I'll look like mercy. In the face of injustice, I'll look like forgiveness and peace. In the face of injustice, I will look like the child of the King. Oh. You guys all right? I hope you're all right. You know why I hope you're alright? Because I'm going to be alright when I leave here on the plane. I'm going to be alright, and tomorrow I'm going to wake up and he's going to hug me, and I just want you to be alright. Because I'm going to go home and get on a plane and I'm going to be alright. Somebody's going to sit beside me and buckle a seatbelt and say, hi, how are you doing? I'm going, yeah! No, I won't. Well, maybe a little. Why? Because my life's not my own. We're going to read it. We're going to finally read it. I turned you there a long time ago, and you know what's beautiful? It's still there. And you know what's even better? It reads the same as it did a while ago. God's not fickle. He's not schizophrenic. There's no turning or shifting a shadow. He doesn't change from moment to moment and keep you guessing. He is rock solid, and heaven and earth is passing away, but his word will remain forever. So I would think it would be wise and faith to live by his word, not by circumstances. Oh. Listen, I don't, oh man, I'm preaching good, buddy. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I told him last night laughing, I said, nobody's leaving because of my preaching. It's just they got to go because I'm preaching way too good. I told him, I was laughing. Come on, be honest with me. The fall of man has trained us another way. You were born into a wisdom called the wisdom of this age. And it's not just enough to pray a prayer to go to heaven. It's enough to get renewed in the spirit of your mind. To not be conformed to the world. Renewing the spirit of mind is Ephesians 4, Romans 12, 2. Not be conformed to the world, but transformed by the... Why? So you can prove that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. What he's saying is you can be one with me. You can know my heart. Isn't that awesome? Here's the deal. We were homeschooled in a wrong home. You don't have to teach 2-year-olds to go, no, mine. As sweet as they are, I love them. I love kids. But you can see that one day they're going to need Jesus. Serious. Mothers come. Young mothers come. And they're broken because their child had an attitude. And all they're doing is peace and Jesus. And Jesus loves me. And one day their little child goes, meh. And they go, oh my God, how am I failing? I've had it. Mothers come to me. My baby has such an attitude. What am I doing wrong? I said, you're not doing anything wrong. You're probably the most amazing mother on the planet. I'm trying so hard. I haven't never even raised my voice. I believe you. You're so sweet. I've never seen you raise your voice. No, and I just love her. She made a face at me. And they think they're failing. They're doing something wrong. I said, no, one day she's going to need Jesus. So here's what you do. Don't take it personal. Don't live her life for her. Let her see who Christ is in you. And one day she'll say, Mommy, why are you like you are? Why are you so sweet? And she'll recognize there's something different about her little heart and Mommy's heart. And all of a sudden you led her to Christ through your life. Not because you told her to pray some prayer when she was 6 and you thought she'd follow along. I'm sorry, Pastor. Are we okay? Come on, I'm being real. I'm being relevant. This is stuff we do. Is it okay if I'm relatable? Come on, you can take it. It's truth. We should be hungry for truth. What are we defending? Come on. Yeah. We ought to be able to talk plain. Jesus talked really plain, got hung on the cross for it. Nobody's crucified me yet. Maybe come close. No. You know why they crucified him? Because they couldn't hear what he was saying. Because of that fall of man thing. They were trained in another. Look, nothing was made that wasn't. John 1, nothing was made that wasn't made through him. Yet he came to his own and his own knew him not. And he came to his own received him not. Why? Because the language and the wisdom that man functioned by was a 180 from the truth. So when the truth stood there and spoke, they went, what is he talking about? Why? Because they were schooled by a lie from birth. He took a whole chapter in Matthew to say, you say, but I say. You say, but I say. Why? He's saying, your language is not heaven's. You say, love your neighbor, hate your enemy, but I say, love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. Give to those who despitefully use you. You say, hate them. I say, love them. Well, yeah, but you don't know how I feel. Well, that really hurt me. That's because you're thinking for you. You don't even have a heart for them. You don't even realize that they're lost. You need your spouse to love you for identity. Your spouse can't even love you if he doesn't love himself or she doesn't love herself. The Bible says that. That if you can't love your spouse, it's because you don't love yourself. We ought to cry for the spouse that can't love their spouse. Because it means they're a dry cup and they have nothing to give. But because we need them for our identity, now we're lacking too. And now we're just another hurting spouse and married into the wrong one. And now the counselors are telling us, well, you know, people make mistakes. God's merciful. And maybe you ought to try to find a better one. Could you picture Jesus going to Golgotha, beat beyond description? And this Barabbas thing's going through his mind. And it's just like the straw that breaks the camel's back. How could they release Barabbas for me? All I've done is heal. And he starts thinking for himself. All I've done is heal their sick, cast out devils, I've raised the dead. All of a sudden he's thinking of all his good works and how he's laid down his life for the people, and all he hears is Barabbas, Barabbas, and he's starting to justify and he's starting to think rational. And all of a sudden he's building a case for his feelings, building a case in intellect, and all of a sudden he drops the cross. He says, God, I am not doing this. Are you kidding me? For them? What do they care? I've healed their sick. I've cast out devils. I've raised the dead. They call me a demon-possessed Samaritan. They release Barabbas. Are you kidding me? Barabbas for me? He's murdered. He's a troublemaker. I've done nothing but good. They can't even see. God, they don't love us. They'll never love you. They surely don't love me. I am not dying for these bunch of deceived losers. I'm done. He'd be totally right and justified in our eyes. He would win out the audience on every talk show today. And we would be villains and he would be a victim. And that is the wisdom of the world and it's void of love. And if those words sound foolish in the mouth of Jesus, and if that mindset sounds foolish in the mouth of Jesus, it'll sound just as foolish in yours because you're made for his image. And the only reason we learn to think that way, and the only reason we learn to talk that way, is because Adam ate that tree. And he did not just sin. He took on the nature of God's enemy. And every man since then was born into Adam, and you must be born again. Yeah. Jesus never said, if any man come after me, pray this prayer to go to heaven. He said, if any man come after me, let him first deny himself. Why? You were never made for you, friend. You were made for the image of God. And if you live for you, it's the biggest tragic misuse of your created value. It's the same as putting metal in a microwave. You will destroy it. The microwave was not made for metal. Read the manufacturer's handbook. Did you ever put metal in there by mistake? Did you ever have a spoon on the plate or a foil piece on something? Woo! Did you ever do that? You do it long enough, you're going to hurt the product. Well, read the manufacturer's handbook. You were never made for yourself. You live for yourself long enough, you will ruin the product. You'll have an alibi. You'll have excuses for where you are and who you are. And your top five reasons for being where you are and where you're not have nothing to do with the Lord. I'm not here to spank you. This is real. I'm talking real. This is a family talk. And I'm saying, man, don't you leave here and be deceived and let life sneak up on you. You let life flow out of you. His name is Jesus. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5. If you're not there yet, come up. We'll pray for you. I'm not there yet. Pray for me. I'm laughing. I said that and I thought, Lord, I'm not even there. I want you to see this. This is amazing. This is amazing. We're going to... it's 11:30. Maybe we won't wrap it up. Are you guys okay? Good, because we're really having a good time this morning. I'm happy. I've had fun this weekend. Thanks for letting me come. I've received nothing but receptivity. The last two nights I spoke so freely. Now watch this. I'll speak freely no matter what. I will, because it's what I'm called to do. It doesn't matter how mad it'll make you. I know that I'm not trying to make you mad. I know that I love you, and I have no need to preach to you. I have no need to get on a plane and fly here and stand in front of you. I'm not here because I'm looking for attention and I want to be a preacher. I never even asked to travel. I never even asked to pastor. I said no to pastoring 3 times. And my pastor said, have you even prayed about it? I said, I haven't even thought about it. I'm a warehouse worker in love with Jesus. And just because you see Christ in me, you think I have to be in leadership. I'm just a Christian. See, because I was 3 months old in the Lord and I saw a back that didn't have a disc and I saw it recreated. I was 4 months old in the Lord and a hernia went closed under my hand. I began to move in words of knowledge and see miracles at a very young age in the Lord. By 9 months old in the Lord, I was preaching in churches and doing conferences. It's a strange testimony, it seems. It's funny, I never asked for any of it. People just saw Jesus in my life. I thought, I bet this is Christianity, Christ in me. You say, no, you're specially gifted. No, you're special. No, I spent countless time with him. I'm in love, remember? I would close the bedroom door day after day after day. I'm not a technology guy. I'm not mad at technology. It's a blessing. But in a lot of ways, it's a curse because people are bound to it and they find their identity through it and they can't get away from it and they can't turn it off. And you can listen to Christian music all day. You can have a Christian ringtone, Christian screensaver, Christian bumper sticker, and t-shirt and never connect with God. And you can let all those things define you as Christian, and you can never, ever even have a heart-to-heart with the Father. It's possible. So I don't have the tech. I don't even carry a cell phone. It's amazing. It freaks people out. I don't even want one. I don't see any value in it, to me personally, but I'm not against a cell phone. But I spent countless time closing my bedroom door. When I first got saved, I would shut my door because I knew I'd have to open it to go back in. Rocket science. I'd have to open it, but there was a reason. Because like a child, I was living by faith. And I'd take that bedroom door, and nobody was around. I'd sneak up the steps, and I'd slide in, and I'd say, here I am, Lord. It's just us. And I'd close the door, and about the fourth day I was doing that, I could hardly make it to the bed, because God's presence was all over me and all around me. And I would just stand there and cry. And I was 33 years old, and I was several weeks saved, and I was like, this is amazing. You are so real. You are not a doctrine. You are my Father. And he would just ravage me in that place and consume me and transform me, and he would make me what he made me to be. Why? Because I sought Him when nobody was looking. I just didn't pray among people and have my reward already. I sought Him in the secret, and He who's in secret saw me there and rewarded me in the open. What was I seeking in secret? Him. What's my reward in the open? Him. It's not fool vats and fool barns. It's Him. My reward is Him. I'm seeking Him. Not what He can do for me. Forget that. Godliness with contentment is great gain. I don't have a poverty mentality. I'm just not needy. You see how I dress. It's not disrespect. It's just me. I live a certain way. It's called modest, super modest. You have no idea. Super modest. So I'm so content knowing Him. I'm fulfilled knowing Him. I have no need for more money. I have no need for a better house. I have no need for nothing. Because I have Him. I'm not striving for the American dream. I'm striving to fulfill His desire. I've spent time with Him, guys. You can spend time with Him. I'm not comparing and boasting. Don't hear that proud and arrogant. What I'm saying is, there is no reason we can't be with Him. Because He opened the door through His blood. So if you're not pursuing to know Him, it's because you're allowing your face to be veiled. You're deceived. You're feeling condemned, guilty. You're listening to the first part of that song at offering instead of the second part with the name tags. You're listening to regret rather than restoration and forgiveness and mercy. You see, nothing compares to your ability to be with Him. Nothing. There's nothing that will ever surpass your ability to be with Him. That's first. Read Mark 3. He called them to the mountain, those who He wanted, and He ordained them that they might be with Him and that He might send them out to preach and heal, etc. That's second. The first thing He ordained would be is they might be with Him. Yay. I want to preach. Be with Him. I want to heal the sick. Be with Him. I want to be moving in the Spirit. Be with Him. I want to prophesy. Be with Him. I wish God would use me with the word of knowledge. Be with Him. And all those things will flow out of knowing Him. Because if those things don't flow out of the wellspring of knowing Him, they'll take the place of your identity. And you'll get prideful and you'll ride the wave of your gifting. And you'll let ministry define you and people's esteem affirm you. And that's twisted. Boy, I'm covering some stuff. I hope you're okay. We're just covering it all in one little service. I'm machine gunning you. Because there's a lot of you here. If I shoot enough, I'll get everybody. See, not every one of these things I'm saying is for you. Don't get overwhelmed. Don't think you have to listen and hear and figure out everything I'm saying. But what's thumping your heart? That's what God's saying. What grabs your attention? That's what God's saying to you. Don't get deceived and think, man, he's saying too much. No, I'm saying a lot, but I'm saying something to everyone. Just stewarding your heart, just opening up and stewarding your heart and coming here for the right reason is for everyone. That's just sharpening. Paul says it's not tedious for me to write the same thing to you over and over for you. It's a safeguard. Hebrews 2 says, take earnest heed of the things you've heard, lest they slip away. In 2 Peter 1, he wrote and said, I write these things to you even though you know them and are established in them, but I think it's right to stir you by reminding. Can you tell I read that book? We ought to read that book. How do you recognize a lie if you don't fill your heart with the truth? Say, well, I don't understand the Bible. Stop that. Holy Spirit will give you understanding. You camp out and you stay there by faith. And you get alone. You open that book. You break the bread of life. And you let Holy Spirit instruct you. He says, if you lack wisdom, ask. And He will give it freely if you don't doubt. Do you get what I'm saying? Come on. How are you going to understand lies and recognize lies if you don't fill your heart with the truth? I am so defended against lies in my life. I'm so filled. He's like, you can just smell limitation. You can just smell deception. You can just smell unbelief. Man, it's like, yeah, right. You don't even buy in, man. You are so safeguarded in truth. Unmovable and unshakable. You're on the rock. Why? Because you heard and you did and you became. And when the winds and storms come, nothing's falling. Nothing's shaken. Why? Because the righteous will never be shaken. Come on. I see us shaking a lot, church. I see us thinking this is the Christian life. Peaks and valleys, peaks and valleys. Are you kidding me? We grow from faith to faith and glory to glory. And that's not spiritual hype. That's the word of the living God. The day of the righteous grows brighter and brighter. We're not dimming. We're not, well, wait till 10 years, brother, when the fire burns out. You know, you start off hot, but you know, you find that balance. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Well, you got to You got to slow down, brother, to make the long run. You got to find some balance. Are you kidding? You're in a sprint marathon. Run. Set a world record, man. Run to the finish line. Okay, I'll be gentle with you. 2 Corinthians 5. You guys can take it. What? Who said what? Yeah, you're right. I'm just going to go with the sister. So you blame her when I leave, because she said, well, I start now. Do you understand that I'm not saying these things to criticize, to judge? You don't feel like I'm beating you up. I'm stirring you up. I'm encouraging you. This is a family talk. Do you understand? I have no need to be right in your life. I'm going to get on a plane and fly home. I didn't even have to come here. I came here because I wanted to. Do you understand? See, we're so touched by other motives in life, or we've been so skewed and jaded by so many other twisted things that sometimes we can't even recognize the truth about some stuff. I'm here because I want to be. I don't have to be. My life doesn't depend on being here. I'm not waiting for the honorarium so that I can survive. Yeah. Are you following me? You gotta understand. Look, I've flown for almost 7 years. I buy my own plane tickets. I go because it's the kingdom. When people go with me, I buy their plane ticket. Young people want to travel, and now don't send me a bunch of emails. I want to travel. But every once in a while, I work it out, but I get asked all the time. But they say, well, we'll have to work up the money, and I'm going to have to raise the. I said, no, I'll take care of it. There's a little account, and I use it for the kingdom. It'll work out. Are you kidding? No, we'll go. That's how I am. Nothing's mine. Nothing's mine. I'm not coveting anything but him and destiny. And we're going to run well. That way life has lost its power to stumble me. Circumstances have no power to stumble me and set me back. Everybody in my family could be struggling, and Jesus is still Lord. What, am I going to him so nobody's struggling? Am I using him? Is he a genie in a bottle? All of a sudden life's a little frustrating, and you're questioning God's love and his decisions and administrative skills? Well, that's a spoiled child. That's somebody that doesn't even love. You're just demanding of God, and he has to prove himself every day. That's not relationship. That's not love. That's usury. It's ludicrous to be mad at God. It's somebody that has no understanding of truth. And we give exception to that and say, now everybody, I heard a preacher once say, now we all get mad at God sometime. We all get mad. Who knows? We all get mad. And everybody's like, yeah, amen. And laughing about it. And I'm like, are you crazy? Mad at God? He's the potter. You're the clay. When the clay indicts the potter, that's a sure sign of the fall of man and the pride of life. We ought to talk plain. I don't want you to have permission to be mad at God, because he's the one you need the most. And when you're mad at him, you're buying into the bait of the devil and playing into his hand. Mad at God? Are you kidding me? He's the father of life. And if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, your lost loved one and the one that died early and the child that you lost, if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, it would be over and it would be lost. But it's eternal life through him. And we miss that. And all of a sudden we're just mad, and all of a sudden the gift of life is coveted at the cost of who he is. Don't you do that, friend. God never gave you children and never gave you a spouse and never gave you stuff at the cost of who he is. He gave you those things in light of who he is, so that in those gifts you can manifest him every day. And if you unfortunately, tragically lost a loved one early, please don't get mad at God. Rejoice that Jesus shed his blood. Run all the harder and cross the finish line and hug one day and give him honor. Or you can make it all about you. It's your privilege. You're the steward of your heart, remember? You can come up with a reason for being less than truth, and you'll find you were deceived one day. Because if your motivation and the thing that's driving you isn't producing life and encouraging you, it can't be the Lord. If the way you're thinking isn't building you up, it's not Jesus. You're being deceived. If your mindset is detrimental to your productivity, your mindset is deceived. Because he's profuse and he's life. And he's encouraged. And you would be encouraged if you're thinking like him. That brother read the scripture, author and finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12. Author and finisher of our faith, looking unto Jesus, the one who started this, the one who finished it, right? Guess what verse 3 says? You read 1 and 2. And that's good. But it stirred me, because I said, oh, I said, I wonder he ain't going to read three because I could tell where you were heading and it was good. He didn't make a mistake. But guess what number three says? And consider him who endured such hostility against himself, lest you be weary and discouraged in your soul. What he's saying is if you think for yourself you're not going to make it, you'll be discouraged and weary and have a right to be. But if you consider him who endured such hostility against himself, you will carry your cross and follow him to the finish line. Verse 3 is powerful. You're going to read it next time. You're going to add it in there, ain't you? Next week. You're awesome. He did right. He read what he was supposed to read this morning. I just happened to be a student of the Word, and I've camped a lot of time, and I thought, wow, verse 3, just think how powerful and progressive that is. So you consider him. He's the one that decides your life, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Not looking unto looking unto Jesus. And you consider him because he didn't get fair. He got injustice. And he never let sin against him produce sin in him. He overcame evil with good. Mercy triumphed over judgment. Love forgave multitudes of sin.
You get it?
So why are we frustrated with each other? Why do we have unresolved conflicts and issues and attitudes and judgments towards one another? Because we think it's normal. It's not what you were made to be. It's what we became when Adam ate the tree. Heaven doesn't know what you're doing. Heaven doesn't understand how you're thinking. We're following Jesus. We're considering him. Not considering your feelings and injustice. You're considering him. If you consider injustice, you have a reason to be forlorn and discouraged. But if you're following Jesus, you have a reason to be alive inside. Because mercy triumphs over judgment. Anybody can judge who's going to show mercy. Mercy triumphs. Mercy's a greater position. Where sin abounds, grace abounds more. Anybody can sin, but where's the grace? And who's going to let it abound? Come on, anybody can fight, but who's going to make peace? It's amazing that we have one example. His name is Jesus, and until we saw his life lived, we didn't know the truth. But the truth has come. So what do you say? We don't just sing to him, we follow him. You guys all right? Can you don't even believe I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 5. I've tainted you. You don't even believe it. And it's not your fault. It's my fault that you don't believe it. But I'm going to read it. I think. There's just so much in my heart right now. It's scary. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's just jump in it. Verse 13 works. No, let's just do 14. Actually, 13 is good. If we're besides ourselves, I seem that way, don't I? I'm playing it cool for you. When I'm alone with God, I get pretty excited. I get undone sometimes. I've been alone with God in ways that I wouldn't be around you because it wouldn't be a profit to you. I've laid and just cried and cried and said thank you every 10 minutes crying. I've just laid on my bed in the presence of God. I've just swept over me. That wouldn't be much good for you today. If I'm besides myself, it's for God. It's just us. We got a thing going on. It's just us. But watch, if I'm of sound mind, it's for you. You can tell I'm not talking in riddles today. You can hear what I'm saying. No matter how zealous, how excited, or how flaky I seem to you, you do hear what I'm saying. Now, I'm not speaking in riddles. There's a sound mind coming out of my mouth. And it's for you. You hear me? Actually, I've learned that you could try to rebut what I'm saying, but your spirit won't let you. Deep down inside, you can hear I'm telling you the truth. Your mind could try to resist it, but your heart's going, yeah, 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 yeah. Your inner man, your spirit man's going, oh, I know. I don't get hate mail. I don't get a lot of rebuttal because I don't have ulterior motives. I'm here in the name of the Lord, and he's fashioned my heart in love, and he's released me. He's given me a platform to speak to people. I've never pursued ministry ever. I've pursued him, and ministry's just followed. I promise you, when I got saved, we belonged to a swimming pool, and we'd sit there, and in the first couple of weeks I was saved, I had circles around my blanket, and I'm just sharing salvation because they saw my life. They saw I was treating the kids. People looked at my life and said, what is up with that guy? He's really different than everybody at the pool. And the church was thinking I was an enigma, and I'm like, no, this is what Christianity looks like. I'd come and I was excited and I'd worship. And years ago when I was a kid, a preacher said, don't you come to church and do things during worship that you don't do with the Lord. That's hypocrisy. You're putting on a show. Make sure if you come to church, you only do that which you do when you're with Jesus. It's a good word. Then when I got saved and came to church and did what I do with Jesus, it wasn't acceptable. And I was looking for attention and I needed to be seen in a crowd and I was judged and people move away from me and the few spiritual ones would gather around me. Ooh, I feel something. It was crazy. I thought, isn't that something? When I'm a kid, I'm told don't go to church and do what you wouldn't do at home. And when I finally get saved and go to church and do what I do at home, it was too much. So I just kept doing it at home. I didn't get hurt and didn't get discouraged and didn't go in there and project and call them a bunch of religious whatevers. I just kept going to church. But when I went home, I just was in love. I came to church and I was in love. Sometimes I moderated a little. I was sensitive to people. But I tell you what, it's amazing how the church thought I had other motives. How the church took the initiative to presume and figure out my heart. That's not our job. You're not anointed to be the assessment crew of God. You're anointed to be love. And love believes the best and thinks no evil. So when we're so quick to judge, it proves we don't even know love. So if we don't know love, we don't know God, because God is love, but you can preach Him and not know Him. Oh man, I'm on this thing. I don't know why it's so intense, but I'm not preaching to you, Pastor. You're born again. I love you so much. No, you're a good guy. God has done a good work in Pastor. Man, you just reveal Him. You have a tenderness that I appreciate. He did something sweet in your heart. That's good to say to a man and be okay with it. He did something precious in his heart. I'm saying He already took the offering and stuff yesterday, so it's not... So. Come on. For the love of Christ, verse 14. For the love of Christ. Oh my goodness, guys, come on. For the love of Christ compels. Let me have a little fun with that word and just paraphrase it into today's language. Compels, the fuel in my tank. What makes the motor run? Is that fair? The word compelled? It makes my motor, what makes my motor run, what keeps me alive and ticking is the love of Christ. It's not how my life is going. It's not how my loved ones are treating me. It's not how my kids are making decisions right now. What compels me is the love of Christ. Because if that's what compels me, that's what will define how I see all those other things. Once you get a little hurt, you look through the hurt and it screens everything. It taints everything. Once you get a little angry, it screens everything. And everything you do is motivated from what's not resolved. And all of a sudden, everything becomes impure and driven by something less than truth. And that's a muddy picture. Especially in the house of God, because we weren't created for the animosity. We were created for love. It is not cool to have that stuff in the house of God. It's not normal. It's not your creative value. And I'm saying it plain, and I'm asking you, if any of that is ever in your heart, you deal with it quickly and you make peace. This brother stood up and shared an amazing word on remembering. Man, that was crystal clear. I know you all heard. It's not just remember. It's rejoin, reestablish, unify, and become one. Man, it was a good word. I heard it loud. I thought, that's awesome. Pastor went, ooh, that's, ooh. It's a good word. Because that's the heart. So I'm listening. I'm thinking, man, you guys understand the gospel. So I'm just going to get up and blow a trumpet and just hopefully we'll make a good sound. You follow? The love of Christ, what? Compels me. Let's see what he's talking about. Why is the love of Christ so compelling? Because he's judging something. He doesn't mean he's judging people. He's discerning something. He's deciding something. He's judging this. Here's what he's looking at. He's looking at Jesus on the cross, and here's where the understanding of the gospel comes in. He's going, oh my goodness, the love of Christ is compelling me because this is what I see. If one died, then we all died. So he died for all. He died, we died with him. When he died, we died. One died, all died. Paul's saying, this is amazing. So now God sees every man through what his son did and what his son became and what his son accomplished in the blood that's speaking. So if a man would repent, it's not just a universal salvation, cheesy grace message that, hey, we're all born again, we don't know it, da da da. The price has been paid and we don't all know it. You have to be born again. You've got to repent. There's a place for a change of mind. It's not cool to incorporate him into your life as a passport to heaven and remain the same. That's a misuse of the gospel. That's misrepresentation of the truth. Grace is not here to empower you to stay the same. Grace is here to transform you. It's not just here to pardon you. It's here to empower you. It's not taught. That's not taught about grace enough. What's taught about grace is, hey, he just loves you no matter what you do. He loves you. Yeah, I know. God knows my heart. No, God looks at your life and your life reveals what you believe and you're judged for your works. You're not saved for your works, but your life determines your faith. And you know them by their fruit. So if a tree's good, the fruit's good. So make the tree good and the fruit's guaranteed. Oh, that's just simple. So he's judging something. If one died, then all died. Now watch this. If he died for all, if this one man, love revealed, love lived, Christ, our Savior, if he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for he who died for them and rose again. Now watch. Therefore, because this is true, from now on we regard no one according to the flesh. That means never again, now that I see the compelling love of Christ that died, and when one died, all died, I never again judge a book by its cover, read a man for face value or what he's producing. I see a man for his potential and his destiny. That's why God sent his son, because he saw that about you. He didn't look at your failures, he looked at your potential, your created value, your destiny. God didn't die on the cross because we're sinners. He died on the cross because we were lost sons. He had to die because we sinned, but he died to redeem your value and your purpose. The cross doesn't expose your sin, it removes your sin, it exposes your value. You're the pearl of great price to him. Come on! Ha! Yeah. That's why he died! He came to seek that which was lost. That doesn't mean a drunk in a back alley. It means your destiny and your created value. What was lost is your created value, your potential and ability by the Spirit to walk in love. Because when man ate the tree, love became self-centered and dog eat dog, every man for himself, eye for eye. Come on, if it was eye for eye, we're all blind. If we lived eye for eye, there's no one that sees. True? But mercy triumphs over judgment. And one died that all die. And it compels us. Because watch, if I see myself in this truth, now I'm free to see you in this truth. Why? Because the first commandment and greatest is love God with everything you are, heart, soul, strength, mind, and love your neighbor. And well, wonder if you don't love yourself and see yourself clear. Wonder if you're nitpicky, guilty, condemned, fault finding to yourself. Then you're going to see what's wrong with everybody else because it won't make you feel so bad. So unless I see God's first love, I can't love him. And unless I don't love him, I can't even see the love for my life. And unless I don't see the love for my life, I can't see you clear. So now I guess we just all have our issues and men will be men. Thank God he's God. That is a lie. You can hang all the law and the prophets on these two. Love him and love your neighbor as you see he loves you. You look in the mirror and see the, you ought to look in a mirror and say, wow, you're amazing. You know, God made you with great purpose. That sure beats looking in the mirror and remembering where you've been that you wish you weren't and remembering what somebody said to you way back in grade school and how your dad didn't say he loved you enough. What is that producing? Let me tell you what it's producing. Without you realizing it, I'm not being insensitive, without you realizing it, it's producing an excuse to remain the same and live in the flesh and be trapped from your destiny. What does it matter? My dad was an alcoholic my whole childhood. When I was the age of the drive, I had to drive to pick him up. He got so bad, cirrhosis in the liver, bleeding out of his behind. He unhooked IVs to go to the bar, snuck out of the hospital to get drunk. Don't tell me I don't understand. What does it matter that he never said, I love you? What does it matter that when I pick him up, he was so hurt and so bankrupt and so dry that he took his anger on me and he told me I'd never be nothing and that I'm a loser? Why? Because he thought he was a loser and it's all he had to give. Why does that make me a loser? Why? Because I didn't have the love of my father. Why can't I see the love of God? I don't find the love of God through my father. I find it through Christ crucified. I'm not finding the love of God through my natural dad. Thank God if you had a loving dad and an example of the Father. But why does the church believe that if I don't have a Father, I can't receive the love of the Father? The love of the Father is revealed through Christ crucified. Has nothing to do with my dad being drunk. Has nothing to do with my dad never blessing me and saying, I love you. The fact that I'm loved is Christ crucified. I'm not going to let what a man did trump what God did. What a man said or didn't say trump what God said. He hung naked on the cross before mankind and said, I love you, Dan. You're more than what you're thinking. I know who you are. And I paid this price to raise you from the dead. Now get up, boy, and live by my Spirit. Let go of feeling sorry for yourself, sad and forlorn. Let go of the excuses and be my boy. I said, yes, Lord. My dad doesn't owe me anything. Christ has given me all things. I will never let those things be an excuse to rob my destiny. I didn't need you to sit and try to talk me through it. I'm a believer. Yeah, that wasn't a slam. That's a conviction. I'm a believer. Oh, that makes me feel good. I believe the gospel. The Bible says you're holy, you're blameless, you're above reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith and are not moved away from the hope in which you heard. Let me paraphrase that. You stand holy and blameless and beyond reproach before God if you don't let anything change your mind. Why? Because He won't change His, because blood is speaking better things than the blood of Abel. And it's not the blood of bulls and the blood of goats, but with His own blood. He went into the holy tabernacle of heaven, not made with hands, but God. And He played out the priestly role and applied His own blood on the mercy seat and sat down forever at the right hand of Almighty. He's there as a man. Do you know that? He's there in a body. He said, touch me. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bone as I. Touch me and see. Don't be afraid. He lets you know that He's there as a man. There's a human body in the holy tabernacle of God on behalf of all men. Seeing, you have a high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, who's passed through the heavens, come boldly into His throne of grace and receive mercy and help in every time of need. Come on, it's the gospel. Yeah. He who knew no sin was made to be sin, so you could stand right in the sight of God. 1 Peter 2 says that He bore your sin and my sin in His body on a tree. Where's your sin and my sin? His body on a tree. Why? So we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, and by His stripes we are healed. Wow. Do you get it? For the law of the Spirit of Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm alive because of Him. I'm a son because of Him. I am what I am by the grace of God. It humbles my heart. It fills my heart with love for Him. If you don't come into the gospel this way, you'll get into works. You'll feel like you owe or earn something. I am standing here a son because of Him. I had done nothing right. He did it all. And when I saw it clear for the first time, I stepped out of me and I stepped into Him. And I realized in my heart that I never wanted to be the man I was another day of my life. I didn't want to live selfish. I didn't want to live at the expense of you. I wanted to live to love you. Are you following me? Never again. I decided I am never again going to live at the expense of a man. I'm never going to use a man for my gain. I'm never going to gossip behind the scenes of someone's life at the cost of their identity and destiny. I'm done living like fallen flesh. Jesus, my life is yours. Everything less than you is pitiful, and I'm not created for that. I'm created for your love. Consume me, Holy Spirit. And I went into the bedroom and sought Him, and He fashioned me, and that's called Christianity. Yay. If we're not careful, it's church attendance and church denomination and church circles and church heritage and church preference. Your a cappella was awesome. Instruments are awesome. Next thing you know, we're fighting over that stuff and what's God and what's not and what's more anointed and what's less, and we're deceived and miss the whole point and prove that we don't even understand God because we're fighting and have animosity when we're called to love. It's just true, man. I'm just being bold and saying it. I loved it all. I love it all. I love Jesus, so I get to see through that screen. So when my brother's up there, breaking my chains, I'm like, sing it, man! And ain't no drums, but man, you could hear it. They were sitting behind me. They said, man, they had all the instrumentalists, all that. It was like, you guys were the instrumentalists. So it was beautiful. But I'll tell you what, when that becomes God more than anything else, or when one God, and all of a sudden we fight over stuff, we're deceived. We've forgotten why we're saved. So don't go there. That's petty and it's deception. It's not wrong to have preferences, but don't judge other things. Is that fair? Is that safe? Look, I love you guys. I'm wrapped up. I'm done. Listen, your life is worth living. If you came in here feeling sorry for yourself, I'm sorry for the way things are going. I'm sorry things are trying and tough. But I'm telling you, unless you change your view on who you are and why you're alive, you'll never get through that thing. It'll crush you. It'll break you down. I'm being honest. You have to leave here today and say, wait a minute, the reason my feet are on the planet is to love. And even if I'm in Nebuchadnezzar's fire, it's to worship God and to look like Him in the middle of it. Look, I say it all the time. When you squeeze an orange, you expect orange juice. If you did an orange on your little pampered chef little thingy, and it was apple juice, you would spit it back in the cup and it would be weird. Right? Come on, you'd probably call a friend and they'd think you were on drugs or something. And they'd say, let me just pray for you, brother. You take that big orange and you slice it. And you got all that poppy. And it's apple juice. Would that be weird? Be weird if you squeeze an orange and get apple juice. Why isn't it weird when you squeeze a Christian and get everything but Christ? Man, that ought to be weird. It ought to be so weird to squeeze a little Christ-like one and get anything but Christ. Wonder if the devil's learned if he squeezes us and tries us, he finds out what we really believe, what we're motivated by, if we're religious or if we're real. Wonder if he has fun poking people, watching what comes out. All of a sudden our best prayer request is, God, please change my boss. He spews on me and makes me feel dirty. Why do you let him talk to me that way? Rather than, God, my boss has no clue who he is. God, I thank you that you show me his value. I pray for his destiny and I ask you to bless him abundantly and reveal your mercy even through my life. God, thank you for my boss. One is self-centered deception, religious jargon. The other one is truth. Come on, guys. Be very careful. Even if it's after today, just because I've blown a trumpet, be very careful to not get trapped thinking for yourself, even in your prayers. You think for the kingdom. It's okay to ask God to help your children and bless your marriage and your home. But if one of those things aren't in place, don't you lose your countenance and don't lose your faith. You stay productive and you shine your light. Because godliness with contentment is great gain. And Paul said, whether I have enough or I don't have enough, I've learned that I'm always the same. Why? Because he never changes. If the rent's paid and you can lift both hands and worship, and then the rent's not paid and you can't get your hands up, that's not a good relationship. He is not a genie in a bottle. He's our Father. I'll close with this statement. Mercy woke you up today. Mercy woke you up today to give you one more day to look like your Father. That's why mercy woke you up, to be like Him. So enjoy being like Him. Enjoy the love and receive the love and receive the finished work of Jesus. And let the gospel speak through your life every day. Amen? Thanks for having me. I love you. It's been fun. God bless you. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor. I just feel done. Okay.
To hear about a lot more loss. It's gain, though. It's gain to lose ourselves. It's good. Let's all stand.